In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is August 4th, 2013, and it's the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. And the title of this sermon is, God loves all men and wants all men to be saved. And this refutes that Calvinist heretic that believed that God doesn't love all men, that God doesn't want all men to be saved. That's blasphemy. It's an attack against God. It's turning God into a monster. We read in 1 Timothy 2, 3-4, which St. Paul says, for God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, this is what St. Paul's teaching about God. And as we know from Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord and change not. He's the same God of the Old Testament as he was of the New Testament. So from the beginning of the creation of the first man, Adam, and the woman, Eve, God willed for all men to be saved, and he loves all men. And we're going to read some Old Testament verses to you that prove that even during the Old Testament era, God loves all men, and he wants all men to be saved. We read in Ecclesiasticus 18:12, the mercy of God is upon all flesh. And we read in Wisdom, chapter 11, verses 24 to 25, but thou hast mercy upon all, because thou canst do all things, and overlookst the sins of men for the sake of repentance. For thou lovest all things that are, and hatest none of the things which thou hast made, for thou didst not appoint or make anything hating it. Everything God made, he loves, and he made it perfect and good. Sin came into the world because of the rebellion of our free will, which chose to disobey God. That's why the devil fell from heaven also, because we chose not to love God back, and we didn't obey God, and that's where sin comes from. But God loves all men, loves everything he created, as long as it's alive on this earth. The only time God then hates you is when you end up in hell. God hates all the devils and damned humans in hell. There's no love in hell whatsoever. But as long as man's alive on this earth, God loves all men, and he wants all men to be saved. We read in Ezekiel 18:23, where God's speaking here through Ezekiel, is it my will that a sinner should die, saith the Lord, and not that he should be converted from his ways and live? And we read in Ezekiel 33:11, say to them, as I live, saith the Lord, I desire not the death of the wicked, but the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, and why will you die? Again, God pleading with men. Wisdom, chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. For God made not death, neither hath he pleasure in the destruction of the living. For he created all things that they might be, and he made all nations on earth for health. And there is no poison of destruction in them, nor kingdom of hell upon the earth. He said there's no nation on earth that was created to go to hell. He says only when you end up in hell is in the final judgment. That's where there is no love or hate. But as long as you're alive on earth, God wills for all nations and all men to be saved. We read about that in Matthew 28:19-20, where he told the apostles, go forth and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He wants all men to be saved, and he loves all men. So, we can even read about this in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant era, and this refutes the Talmudic Jews of today, who are supreme, absolute, evil, diabolical racists. I always said that their racism is the worst of, is what you might even call true racism, the worst of all racism. They hate other races. They look at the Gentiles and say they're soulless beasts, they're animals. They're like horses and dogs, and they have no souls. That's what the Talmudic Jews believe in. All right, you already read a couple of verses I already gave you where God said he loves all men. Now, here's how they probably tried to get around that. They probably tried to say, well, that's men. And the only men during the Old Covenant era was maybe Sem's line and maybe only Jews. But you're going to now read here about the Old Covenant era, where God's speaking to the Jews and he tells the Israelites, his chosen people, that he wants them to even go out and to proselytize, to convert the Gentile nations. And that when the strangers want to become faithful and worship the God of Israel, that they're to be circumcised and they're to be treated as Israelites. They are considered Israelites. The only difference is they could not ascend to positions of authority in the temple and the hierarchy, but they were treated as Israelites, as Jews. And this defeats that Talmudic Jewish racism, where they think Gentiles are all soulless beasts. We're going to read in Exodus 12:48. And it says, and he's speaking to Moses, and if any stranger be willing to dwell among you, a Gentile, and keep the phase of the Lord, the Passover, all his males shall first be circumcised, and then shall he celebrate it according to the manner, and he shall be as he that is born in the land. He shall be as an Israelite. We read about that in Ezekiel 47:21-23. and you shall divide this land unto you by the tribes of Israel, and you shall divide it by lot for an inheritance to you, and to the strangers, the Gentiles, that shall come over to you to convert, that shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as men of the same country, born among the children of Israel, considered Israelites. They shall divide the possession with you in the midst of the tribes of Israel. God even gave them possessions in Israel, the Gentiles. And in what tribe soever the stranger shall be, there shall you give him possession, saith the Lord God. Given Gentile converts possession in the land of Israel. His will, again, is manifest that he wants all men to be saved, that he loves all men, not just the Jews. He loves the Jewish race above all races, but he also loves all the other races also. Just like he loves the Blessed Virgin Mary above all creatures he ever created, even above St. Michael. But he still loves all creatures. And we're reading here again in the Old Covenant era about God's will to convert the Gentiles. We read in Isaiah 56, 6 to 7. And the children of the stranger, of the Gentile, that adhere to the Lord, to worship him, the God of Israel, and to love his name, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from profaning it, and that holdeth fast my covenant, I will bring him into my holy mount, and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their holocaust, their victims shall please me upon my altar. For my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. The apostate Talmud of Jews, you know what they try to say all nations mean? The 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob. They're all the nations, only those nations, not the other nations. No, he's talking about here, all right, the strangers that shall dwell among the Israelites, the Gentile, shall be considered an Israelite. God will accept his victims. He's clearly talking about the Gentiles in here also, and what he really means is at all nations. So again, we see God's will for all men to be saved, and he loves all men. And during the Old Covenant era, it was even his will for the Gentiles to come into the church, which was at that time the synagogue, and the true religion was Judaism, and he wanted them to worship and adore the God of Israel. So it's God's will even back then to convert the Gentiles. So much so that even the most obstinate of all the Gentiles, God even wills and loves them and wants them to be saved. Even though in his predestined mind, God knows that they are ultimately obstinate and that they will end up in hell because they're not going to listen, he still loves them and he still gives them a chance. Sometimes you can't even see the chances God gives them, but a lot of times you'll see it, like with Pharaoh. Now, we're even going to see when the Jews went into the promised land of Canaan for the first time. And God wanted them to destroy the Canaanite, the seven Canaanite races that were in there because they were very, very, very evil. But God, we're going to read in Wisdom chapter 12, even loved and willed for them to be saved. But ultimately, as you're going to read too, God ends up saying, even though I know they're not going to listen, but doesn't mean all of them didn't listen, by the way. All right. And so we're going to say, we don't know how many of those Canaanites, how few of them actually may have really converted, because it was God's will. You're going to read that here, that he really wanted some of those Canaanites, all of them really, to convert, even though very few probably did. So now we're going to read about how God wanted even those wicked Canaanites to even accept him. And we're going to read that in Wisdom chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Oh, how good and sweet is thy spirit, O Lord, in all things. And therefore thou chastisest them that err by little and little, and admonishest them and speakest to them concerning the things wherein they offend, that leaving their wickedness they may believe in thee, O Lord. For those ancient inhabitants of the Holy Land, the seven Gentile, pagan, Canaanite races in the promised land of Israel, whom thou didst abhor. And that's another thing. Although God loves all men, he abhors most men. If you're not in a state of grace, God abhors you. That's another issue. But it doesn't mean hate. He still loves you. A parent who has a very bad child could still love that child, but abhor him really greatly, and even kill the child if he has to. If the child's doing something so bad against justice that he's killing the other family members or whatever. Now we read again. O Lord, for those ancient inhabitants of the Holy Land whom thou didst abhor, because they did works hateful to thee by their sorceries and wicked sacrifices, and those merciless murderers of their own children, the eaters of men's bowels and the devourers of blood from the midst of thy consecration, and those parents sacrificing with their own hands helpless souls, it was thy will to destroy by the hands of our parents. God wanted the Jews to destroy them. But you're going to read right now, but not all of them. And not right away, because he wanted to give room for repentance. Here's the part. Eventually, the ones that didn't repent were destroyed. that the land which of all is most dear to thee might receive a worthy colony of children of the children of God. Yet even those thou sparest as men, the Canaanites, and didst send wasps, forerunners of thy host, to destroy them by little and little, not all at once, to give them a little bit of a warning, a few punishments, so they may convert. Not that thou wast unable to bring the wicked under the just by war, or by cruel beasts, or with one rough word to destroy them all at once, but executing thy judgments by degrees, thou givest them place of repentance. Not of repentance. He wanted the Canaanite races to repent. It was his will, and he even loved them. But he abhorred them greatly, because they were of the most evil of all the races on the face of the earth. Nor being ignorant that they were a wicked generation, and that their malice natural, and that their thought could never be changed. God, he's saying, even though God knew they were obstinately evil, most of them, they're going to go to hell anyway, he still was trying to give them that opportunity to repent. So on their judgment day, he could say to them, do you remember when I did this little by little? Did you remember when the Jews were preaching to you about the true God? Did you remember when I did all this and you didn't respond? Now go to hell, and even deeper now, because you had knowledge of the true God and rejected him. For it was a cursed seed from the beginning, neither didst thou fear for anyone give pardon to their sins. So he's trying to say, dear, it was God's will to even convert those evil, wicked seven Canaanite races that were extremely evil. Even though God knew most of them were obstinate, he still willed for them to be saved even. Although in his predestined mind, he knew they weren't going to be saved. I always say, it's always good to say this, God wants all men to be saved, but he doesn't will for all men to be saved. Some people, you can say God wills for all men to be saved also, but you have to take it in context. In his active will, which he's really going to allow to happen. No, he doesn't will for all men to be saved in his active will, because he knows most men are going to go to hell, and he himself sends them to hell. But in his passive will, which I call his passive will, what he wants for men is that I want them all to be saved. But because men have free will, which is the only thing that they have unique to themselves that is not of God, because they have free will, they can rebel against God. They can disobey God. They don't have to cooperate with his graces that he gives them. And that's why men end up sinning and they go to hell, because they want it. They use their own free will to go to hell. And that's why I say, more accurately speaking, you can say God wants all men to be saved, and he loves all men. And if you say God wills for all men to be saved, then his passive will. And his active will, no. Because when people die or are evil, it's his will that they should go to hell. I call that his active will. And once they end up in hell, then he doesn't love anybody. But as long as they're on earth. And then in that same chapter, we read Wisdom 12:19-22. But thou hast taught thy people by such works that they must be just and humane. Listen to that, you Talmudic Jews. Just and humane. The Talmudic Jews who absolutely are evil, diabolical races, looking at Gentiles like horses and dogs. So from their perspective, they say they're not even human, so why be humane to them? They're animals. Mm-hmm. And hast made thy children to be of a good hope, because in judging thou givest place for repentance for sins. For if thou didst punish the enemies of thy servants that deserve to die with so great deliberation, giving them time and place whereby they might be changed from their wickedness. He's saying, because you gave the Canaanites time, how much more will you give your own chosen people time to repent when they're wicked? That's what he's saying here. But he's saying, look, even the Canaanite races you wanted to save, and you were patient with them. With what circumspection hast thou judged thy own children, to whose parents thou hast sworn and made covenants of good promises? Therefore, whereas you chastise us, thou scourgest our enemies very many ways, to the end that we may think on thy goodness, and when we are judged, we may hope in thy mercy. How could the Talmudic Jew hope for mercy when he looks at the Canaanite, and he looks at the Canaanite as an animal, a soulless beast, when he's a human being whom God loves and wants to be saved? That is absolute. You just read the Talmud. They may not all want to admit it to you, but that's what the Talmud actually teaches, and that's what they believe in. But here, during this short sermon, you've learned that God indeed loves all men, and he wants all men to be saved. But now here's the very, very sad part. The sad part is that even though God loves all men and wants all men to be saved, very, 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 very few men will be saved. And we're going to talk about that next week. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed
on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.